There's a big anniversary tomorrow. 50 years ago, five men broke into the Democratic National Committee headquarters in Washington. The Nixon administration's attempt to subvert the electoral process began to be revealed. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg took one of the reporters who broke the story to see the National Portrait Gallery exhibition, Watergate, Portraiture and Intrigue.
In the early morning hours of June 17th, 1972, a Saturday, Bob Woodward was asleep. 29 years old, the lowest paid reporter on the Washington Post, $165 a week. He'd been on the paper for 9 months when the city editor called at 9 a.m. to put him to work on the burglary. Another young reporter, Carl Bernstein, became his partner. The burglary, cover-up, obstruction of justice, Senate hearings, and resignation of the president were their story. Now, in the museum, Woodward looked at a cartoon of most of the president's men, tied up in phone cables and pointing at one another in blame.
Do you know these guys?
Yeah. Most of them went to jail.
Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, McCord, Magruder, Dean, Hunt, Liddy, names we used to know like bad sheep uncles, all went to jail. Nixon didn't. He resigned. That August day in 1974, he said goodbye to his staff and family in the White House East Room. Woodward remembers.
There's this moment that I think is probably the most important in presidential history, when Nixon paused and he said,
"Others may hate you, but those who hate you don't win unless you hate them. And then you destroy yourself."
A Time magazine cover shows a younger Nixon after his 1972 landslide victory. The new president, a bit sweaty, fingers raised in a V-sign, big grin. What do you see in that face?
Nixon trying to force feed the camera the face of confidence when you can see behind the eyes the doubt, almost that sense that he was in the wrong business. Politics.
The scandal that brought Nixon down was doggedly reported by Woodward and Bernstein with huge help from a highly placed secret source they called Deep Throat. He and Woodward had secret meetings at 3 a.m. in an underground garage in Virginia. Lots of cloak and dagger stuff. Flowers on windowsills to signal whether or not to meet. Everyone wondered where the information came from, even or especially Sam Ervin. Woodward says he has a ham-like face in his photo. Ervin, the North Carolina Democrat who chaired the Senate Watergate Committee.
The committee will come to order. Today, the Select Committee on Presidential Campaign Activities.
Senator Ervin called me up. It was January 73 and said, "We're going to investigate. Will you tell me your sources?" And I said, "We just can't do that."
The reporter's word was mum. Their editor didn't know. The Post publisher didn't know. You'd know him now from a Richard Avedon photo at the Portrait Gallery. Doesn't look especially righteous. Mouth a bit clamped, eyes a bit narrowed. Some 35 years after Watergate, Mark Felt revealed he was Deep Throat.
This was the man in the FBI who was in charge of the Watergate investigation. So if you were going to go down the list of who you want to be your secret source, he'd be at the top.
Nixon's White House counsel, John Dean, became a very public source in the Watergate hearings. He had run the cover-up for the president. At 35, Dean hoped to protect himself by telling the truth to the committee.
"I began by telling the president that there was a cancer growing on the presidency, and if the cancer was not removed, the president himself would be killed by it."
That's a very good portrait of Dean.
Tweed jacket, blue and white striped shirt, a sorry hero, a whistleblower. In the painting, he looks conflicted.
It's a portrait of somebody trying to look innocent but isn't.
Dean was disbarred, spent 4 months in jail, is a trusted TV commentator now. Nixon's former law partner and attorney general, John Mitchell, went to jail for conspiracy, perjury, obstruction of justice, 19 months. His late wife, Martha, a chatty Arkansan known as the Mouth of the South, is having her moment these days. Julia Roberts is playing her in a cable series.
She knew nothing, none of the facts about Watergate, but living with John Mitchell, all of her alarm bells went off about the lies and the cover-up. And so she was conveying the emotion of there's much going on here that shouldn't be going on, but she knew none of the detail.
Martha's portrait shows a sort of stunned blonde, game, but maybe a little on edge. Woodward has a great story. Early 70s, John gets in trouble. Martha makes trouble. She calls Woodward and Bernstein. Come on up to my Fifth Avenue apartment.
He's left and will let you go through his office.
They found all kinds of useful documents.
She said, I hope you get the SOB.
Divorce, lies, cover-ups, jails, it all falls apart. America gets a new leader. President Gerald Ford pardons Nixon.
He pardoned him. It was thought to be corrupt. I investigated it 25 years later and found out actually Ford pardoned Nixon to get Nixon off the front page. It was actually a courageous act because he knew he was killing himself politically.
Yeah, but also it was good for the country to be able to begin to move on.
Exactly.
Well, our wallow in Watergate is almost over. A crowd has gathered near to hear journalist Bob Woodward. There are no pictures of him or Carl Bernstein in the exhibit. Curator Kate Clark LeMay says they haven't found appropriate or affordable ones yet. I ask what business a group of convicted felons, jailbirds, and democracy damagers are doing on the walls of an important Washington museum. She replies,
well, we like to say we're not a hall of heroes. We are a museum of United States history.
I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.